Games Van Der Geek, it's time for the theme.
It's Ash Wheeling with a game for you. He's coming into our lives.
That was really bad harmonies. But it's good to see you.
Great harmony. I loved it.
You got over the COVID, mate. How are you feeling?
Mate, I cannot tell you enough how much I did not enjoy the COVID. Yeah, big, horrible, runny, gooey, gunky experience it was. I don't recommend it. Definitely do not rate it highly on things you can do to spice up your life. The spicy cough. Not a fan.
Not a fan of the old vid. Well, you got through it, but the good news is when you do have COVID, you get to play a lot of games. And God of War Ragnarok, since we left you with COVID, nominated for the Game Awards in 2022. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, not just nominated, but Sony's game is up for 10 prizes.
Whoa.
It's coming out ahead of both Elden Ring and Horizon Forbidden West, they both only have 7, but yeah, I'm pretty sure the God of War Ragnarok is in every category that it can possibly fit in. If it was an indie game, it would go for indie as well. If it was a puzzle game, if it was a romance simulator, they probably would have got those nominations as well, but they just couldn't quite get it. But 10 nominations, it's ridiculous.
And who is it up against too? Like, what other Game of the Year nominees are there?
Well, let's have a look at some of the nominees. So basically, Game of the Year obviously is the big one. It's going up against obviously Elden Ring, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, that game we spoke about earlier in the year where you play as a cute little kitty cat that's lost in the streets of a terrible, scary city. It's up against those ones, but then it also has like Best Game Direction, again, going up against Elden Ring. Best Narrative, it gets to go up against a game called A Plague Tale Requiem, which is a really nifty looking game. Best Art Direction, God of War's in there. Best Score in Music, Bear McCreary is nominated. He made the music for it. Best Audio Design, God of War.
It was me what made her.
Funny, in Best Audio Design, it goes up against Gran Turismo 7. So, you know, yeah. God of War's incredible audio versus bram, 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 bram.
Well, the writing, the performances, the music, each are exceptional. And bringing it all to life is, you kind of take it for granted, but those, even the crunch of a bone, how do you make that noise?
Well, as someone who's a big fan of Mortal Kombat games, I've actually watched a behind-the-scenes video on how they do the sound of flesh tearing and splattering and bone breaking.
What do they do?
It's literally a dude in a room beating up vegetables. Literally, like, oh, this is the part where we, like, rip someone's ribcage open. It's just him picking up, like, a bell pepper and going... It's pretty funny. Also, bananas, chewing on them, punching celery. It's called Foley work. And those poor, I hope they eat a lot of salads, otherwise they're wasting all their delicious food.
Yeah, it has to go into like a nice little Waldorf afterwards. But
walnuts, apparently. I just remembered, walnuts is how they do breaking bones.
Jeez, breaking some nuts in the game of God of War. But it's kind of exceeded expectations, this. And man, the troubled Greek memories of the Norse saga are all coming to life. And I'm about like maybe a third of the way through it. And some of the side quests are unbelievable. Like, it's just grander and bigger than ever.
I've been playing it in between other things. I think I'm sitting at around like 10 hours played, and I still feel like I've barely scratched the surface.
There's twists.
Like, the story's got so much going on. It's such a big epic tale that I'm like, hey, cool. I've like dedicated a ton of time to this. I would have finished other games in this sort of time period, but I feel like I've barely started. There's so many questions coming up and being asked that I still have no idea what the answer could be. It's pretty epic. I think the big question a lot of people are going to be walking away from this is going to be, was it better than the first one?
Well, that's the hard part, because the first one set up the tone, but this journey is beautiful. It looks amazing. There's all important upgrades as well to some of your Leviathan axe and all that
the way
stuff.
That but you this get around the world, the characters. Like, there's people doing things that they didn't do in the first game, which is awesome. And just, it's really hard. I think the first one had a really, really unique and interesting story about parenthood, where the second one's a lot more about destiny and fate. So it's different strokes for different folks.
There's a lot of layered writing and great acting, and the cinematic nature is unbelievable. In fact, we wrote a song about it, and I'll play it again. Here it is.
God of War! Good game, yo! Kratos has a good boy, cause he's a stud muffin. Play it again, yo!
It's undeniably glorious. Now, speaking of glorious, you got to see Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. So, a few problems, you're saying?
Yeah, so basically the two newest games in the popular Pokemon franchise have dropped. People are having a great time with it, but there's just one recurring question that everyone has. why does it look so bad?
Right. So is it graphics or is it, what is it?
It's performance issues, to be honest. Mm. So, like, obviously, Pokemon has always had a home on the portable consoles within the Nintendo family. And it means that people were really hungry for when it would finally get on a, you know, something that isn't a Game Boy. And it's on the Switch now. And the Switch got a bit of grunt to it. Obviously, it's no PS5, but the Switch has grunt. We've seen Zelda Breath of the Wild, big, sprawling, open areas, really nice-looking thing. So the last couple of Nintendo games for Pokemon, Pokemon Sword and Shield, Pokemon Arceus Legends, they've been open world.
Yeah.
And they've looked okay. Not fantastic, just solid, middle of the road. They look fine. Pokemon Scarlet and Pokemon Violet are the latest sort of big budget entries in the Pokemon like Pantheon, and people saw the trailers and went, oh my god, that looks incredible. But now they're playing the game, there's stuff going on that they're not very happy about.
So frame rate drops. So it sort of goes from two people.
There's frame rate drops, there's pop in, like things will just appear as you get closer to them. If you climb on top of the like tallest peak and just have a look around, it just doesn't look great.
Yeah.
It's from what I've seen, I think the problem is that the game is very ambitious, but it hasn't had the work put in to make those ambitious things work. They sort of just accepted that, like, yeah, things will just appear as you get close to them. Man, bugger. Mm. And same with the level of detail. Like, sort of, there's a thing that they do in games to optimize it, where sort of things that are further away, they'll reduce the quality of how it looks in game because you're not up close to it. You're not going to look at it closely. But even that just kind of looks bad. The recurring theme I'm seeing from a lot of people is that they are the best Pokemon games yet. All the systems and stuff that's happening within the game is fun and it develops how Pokemon works and people like that, just kind of stink to look at.
Geez, that's everyone's not a great start, is it?
Yeah, people are like, hey, everyone, link your favorite PlayStation 2 game that looks better than Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. And you're like, oh, and you see the screenshots and you're like, I hate that they're making such a good point.
Yeah,
they're not
scaring
wrong.
Me off, that's for sure. They've got 99 problems and a Switch is one.
Do want a PlayStation or an Xbox One? I got 99 problems, but a Switch ain't one. I got Smash Bros and the Elder Scrolls, the Legend of Zelda Link smashing trolls.
Oh.
Yeah, from the IGN review, they have the most salient point that they've said. They've said, aside from its phenomenal shift to a true open world, I've had one major takeaway from my time with Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. There really isn't a moment in these games where I'd say they run well.
Oh, dear. Not a great review then. But you just did the reviews for Evil West, and you love cowboy games, and you're going to 1800s Frontier Fantasy regions.
Yes. So Evil West, the way I've been describing it to people, and a lot of them respond with that sure is words, is I just say, it is Buffy the Vampire Slayer meets Wild Wild West starring Will Smith.
Right.
With a Tesla punk like weapons in it, and people just go, that's a lot of words. Basically, the bottom line is you play as Jesse Rentier. You are a member of the Rentier Institute, a cowboy organization that is solely purposed to fight vampires.
Yay, fair
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, so it's not just railways and rustlers causing a hard time in the Wild Wild West. There's bloodsuckers as well. So the entire game is based around you trying to take out. Basically, they've decided that it's no longer fun to sort of have little skirmishes between the cowboys and the vampires. They're going to go all out and just have a bit of a war. And you, Jesse, are going to take care of business.
Jesse, we need to cook.
Jesse.
Do you get several snakes in your boot?
Oh, mate, it's not about the snakes in your boot. It's about carrying like 8 different guns upon your person at any given moment. Like, I think I said in my review that just looking at Jesse for more than like 2 minutes makes my back ache because he's got a pistol, a rifle, a crossbow, a minigun.
Ooh.
He's carrying a gun like a bomb dispenser. He's got this thing called the shock rod, which will just stun everyone around you. And he's also got this mechanical set of brass knuckles on his arm that folds out into a giant knuckle duster that says the words Rentier Institute on it, and you cave in people's faces.
And he takes on the neck-nibbling numpties, you've called them, the toothy terrors.
Yes, the toothy terrors known as the Sanguisuge, a shadow organization of, you know, toothy terrors. And yeah, just the whole game is you punching vampires so hard that they explode.
Whoa.
And then coming across other scary, monstery things that go bump in the night. And it really styles itself around classic old school combat. So, like, again, it wants to be like an old school PS2 game, which is fine. But the thing is, it's gorgeous. It plays super well. And just, it's you hitting things so hard that they just make wet, splattery noises. It's like tenderizing a steak using a Maglite torch.
Oh, like we said earlier, just vegetables.
Yeah, just beating up veggies. But it's a classic tale of good versus evil where you play the coolest vampire hunting cowboy to ever ever come out of the Wild Wild West.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer meets Wild Wild West. Wiki wiki wah. Mm-hmm. Wiki wah.
The only way it could have been any better is if it was actually Will Smith's character from Wild Wild West.
He just slaps the taste out of your mouth.
Maybe if the last boss was like a giant mechanical spider. I don't know.
So what would you give it out of five?
Out of five, I'd give it 4.5. Oh, out of 10, which is the rating system we use on Well Played, I actually gave it a 9.
Nice.
Big 9, yeah.
Vampire Slayers out there, Buffy, get your bloody rods out. Sounds like a romp.
Rods out for the boys.
In the Wild Wild West. Well, kicking names and taking asses, it's every week with Ash Whaling from Well Played. Thanks for joining us, mate, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.
Mate, December's around the corner. We've got more stuff coming out this year. Margot.
Christmas at Nana's.